Blog Talk Radio.
Connect. It is the same site that
we are using to do the Black History study from, you know, the creator of that site. And so from posting the lessons from here, they asked me could I do them by video. They want me to do them on their site, Hebrew Connect. So we're looking at, you know, moving in that direction as well. No, I'm talking about with all that yawning.
I was trying to move.
Oh, you that stiff? Oh.
Yeah.
Well, let's get you some Bengay.
No, I think I need stop eating.
Oh, amen. Amen. I feel you. I feel you there. All right. So it doesn't look like we have any new nations that have joined. I may have to start making, you know, a concerted effort to reach out to some other nations, people in other nations here. We want to continue to spread the word throughout the world. So only about 68% of our users are coming from the U.S. About 6.8% are coming from Canada, 5.8% are coming from South Korea, 3.78% are coming from the United Kingdom, 3.4% coming from Japan, and I think it stops there as far as showing on the list, but the rest of them will be in the 2s and the 1%. So it is, you know, the Most High's will that this gospel go out into all the nations in these last days, and so we are endeavoring to reach into all those nations. So we want to keep track of that. Okay. What else? We do have the Feast of Trumpets coming up. I will look up that date. It is in September. And we want to be mindful of that because it's a high holy day. And so we will have a special celebration for that day. And we have Tabernacles coming up and the Day of Atonement coming up and also the eighth day for the latter harvest coming up in the next couple of months. If you are not... Huh?
When is the new moon?
The new moon for this month is the same day as Trumpets.
Okay.
And Trumpets falls on the first of the month, which will be the new moon.
Amen.
All right, amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so as I was, you know, going through topics and going before the Most High on what to teach on this Sabbath, coming across my mind was, I do a prayer for us and part of our Sabbath prayer. And as part of that Sabbath prayer, in that prayer is the reason that we should know that it's important that we know that we are Hebrew Israelites. Okay, because we have to do something that no other nation has to do, no other people. Other than that, you know, coming back to the Most High and serving Him with our whole heart, all people have to do that. But we specifically, He tells us to do some specific things, especially when we're scattered and amongst our enemies. So we're going to go through some of that on this evening for this Sabbath lesson. That being said, let me pull up our statement of faith. And we'll do our statement of faith, and then we will pray in, and then we will listen to a song or two. I'm in kind of a praise mode. That brother, what is it, who is he, Hezekiah, what is his name?
Hezekiah Walker?
I like Hezekiah Walker too, but this guy is, he made a real long praise video, and for some reason, I can't get enough of it. But I'll play some of that, maybe 10 or 15 minutes of it. He brings me or helps to bring me into the presence of the Most High. and in praise. So we'll go ahead and do our statement of faith, then we will pray in. And so let me have the ladies cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads wherever you're at. Let's turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem, the direction that the sun comes up. And let's do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep His commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this evening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, my Elohim. Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. We just give you glory, Father, and we give you praise, and we give you honor. For truly you are worthy, O Yah Elohim. You are worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And we thank you on today, Father. And we honor you in this your day, your Shabbat, that you have ordained that your people will keep perpetually. Father, so we just want to honor you with our praise and our worship on this day. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. 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 Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, you have said that your people, Israel, have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us, by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that we have done wickedly. And, Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways, and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, but disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, a spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, Father, that all that are called in Messiah, that they will hear your voice, come and obey, and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on this evening, we ask that you would smile upon this work, and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. All right. The sounding of the shofar. For we are commanded to sound the shofar in our Sabbaths and in our feast days and in our new moons. Come, Yah Elohim.
us safe, for carrying us for another opportunity to bring you this offering, God. This offering is only powerful if you receive it. So we're going to check our hands and hearts right now. Just make sure that they're clean. Make sure that they're pure. And we thank you, God, that we don't achieve pure hands and clean hearts by our own righteousness, but by the work that you have done, the finished work. So our eyes are on that. Our focus is on that. We are performing for you. We're not trying to move anybody else's heart tonight. And I thank you, even as we said last night, I'm already yours, so I don't even have to perform in that sense. But there is something like a little kid going, Dad, look what I could do, that is just so necessary right now. And so take all restrictions off of us, all second guessing off of us, and just here's this offering, light the fire to it and let it reach you in a sweet and smelling way, all right? We thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. You're so good, Lord. You're so good to us. Thank you, God, for your favor upon us, for your life in us. Just take a moment. Come on, fill this room and just tell them thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, open your mouth right now just for a moment. Come on. on, just let everything loose. Lift up your hands as high as they can go. Come on. Take them up, take them up, take them up. This is a sign of surrender. God, whatever you're trying to do, whatever you want to accomplish tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God in the highest.
I'm not holding anything back. I'm not holding
heaven. Let's go.
Amen, 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 amen. Need to do some praise and some worship. I don't know what's going on with my voice this evening, but I can't hinder anything. Yah is good and greatly to be praised. As I was saying, we have the Feast of Trumpets coming up. That is, will also be a new moon service. But we will also, I will do it differently. I will do a precept on that night concerning trumpets, the Most High coming down. I believe this is the time frame or the date. You can't know the day or the hour, but this is when he came down to meet Israel. And I believe this is the day he's coming back. We don't know the exact time that day, but I believe it's going to be during this time frame. And just as the trumpets were blowing loud for his first coming down to meet Israel, we are told that Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus Christ, will descend with a loud voice in the trump of God, just like the trumpet blew when the Most High came down to see Israel. Is going to do the same thing when he returns. And so I do believe that's going to be for that feast and keeping of that and the fulfillment of that. So we will do a precept on that with the new moon. So prepare to be just a little bit longer that night. I'll try to fit it into our normal time frame, but if we can't, then understand, it's a high holy day, and we want to do something special for the Most High on that day. All right, let us go ahead and start with this precept. And didn't even really name this precept except for, why is it important for you to know that you're a Hebrew Israelite? And I want to start off in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. The book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And let me get there myself. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and we're going to get verses 1 through 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1 through 14. Now, part of this chapter is included in our Sabbath prayers, okay, because he tells Israel to do something, and we need to be mindful of what the Most High says. Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven. Now, to set up this scenario, Solomon has completed the temple in Jerusalem to the Most High. He's completed the Most High's house, and he has dedicated the temple, okay? And when he had made an end of praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of Yah filled the house. I want you to put yourself in that mind frame that you are in the house of the Most High. And the Most High shows up. And he makes himself known in a way that we just know that it's him. In this case, he did what? He actually consumed the burnt offering. So just like in Noah's day, the first time that they dedicated the altar, Nadab and Abihu offered incense out of order, in the wrong order. And the Most High, fire came out from the Most High and consumed them, Nadab and Abihu. Now we have the temple being dedicated, and the Most High is coming down to dedicate the altar again and dedicate the temple, and fire comes out from him, and he consumes the offering of the sacrifice. And the glory of Yah filled the house. And the priest did not enter into the house of Yah, because the glory of Yah had filled Yah's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, and the glory of Yah upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised Yah, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before Yah, and King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of Yah, the house of Elohim. So that's a lot of sacrificing going on, not just one or two animals. But in the 120,000 sheep being sacrificed, 2,000 oxen being sacrificed, and they're dedicating this altar to the Most High. They're dedicating this house, this temple to the Most High. And the priests waited on their offering. The Levites also with the instruments of music. You know, I've heard brothers say that, you know, the choir doesn't have a place in the ministry. But the Levites, the Levitical priesthood, also played instruments. They had a choir. So, you know, when brothers say stuff like that, I'm like, have you really read the scriptures? And, you know, get out of your own personal opinion. But, you know, read the word of the Most High. You know, the choir definitely has a place in the ministry. And the priests waited on their offices, and the Levites also with instruments of music of Yah, which David the king had made to praise Yah, because his mercy endures forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of Yah. For there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. He had sacrificed so much that it wouldn't fit on the altar. Also, at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation, from the entering in of Hamath unto the river Egypt. So they are celebrating from like Damascus, that's where Hamath is at, all the way to the Nile River, which is in Egypt. And in the 8th day, they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. Verse 10. And the 23rd day of the 7th month, on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tent. So they have kept, this is really the feast of what, tabernacles, and glad and merry in the heart of goodness that Yah had showed unto David and to Solomon and to the Israel, his people. Thus Solomon finished the house of Yah and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of Yah, and in his own house he prospered, he prosperously affected. And Yah appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, so we got to look at this part. Solomon made a prayer to the Most High, and the Most High is answering his prayer and saying, I've heard your prayer. And so Solomon asked, if you shut up heaven, if you don't send the rain, if you command the locust to devour the land, and if you send pestilence, so the Most High says, okay, if I do those things, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So as Hebrew Israelites, we got to know that we're Hebrew Israelites. When we are in trouble, Most High says specifically that because of the prayer of Solomon, that if the Most High does anything to us because of our disobedience, if I do any of these things, if I even send pestilence, which is, you know, disease and that kind of stuff, among my people, if my people will, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, this is as a corporate body. Individually, we can do this, and of course, we cannot leave Messiah out of this. But as a people, we turned away from, our forefathers turned away from the Most High. And he told us if we did that, if we were disobedient, this is what we had to do as a people. Okay. Now, we're going to read some other things that are not required of the nation, but are required of Israel. Verse 15. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my ears shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and judgment, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenant with David thy father, saying, there shall be a man to be a ruler in Israel. Now, one of the things that we got to know, what you know, one of the next lessons coming up is the times of the Gentiles. And the times of the Gentiles doesn't end until Messiah returns. That being said, when we look at, you know, there is no throne in Israel today, and there is nobody from the house of David on the throne. That won't happen until Messiah returns. Why? Because of the disobedience of the king and the people. The Most High kicked everybody out of his land. Okay, he kicked us out of the land. And so we have to humble ourselves. We have to pray. We have to seek him with our whole heart. Okay. We have to turn from our wicked ways. He says, then will I hear from heaven. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus 26. And let's get verses 32 through 46. Leviticus chapter 26. Now, Israel is a name of the Most High. And, you know, we got to understand that that's one of his names, Israel, Israel, or Yisrael. In Leviticus 26, starting in verse 32. And the word of the Most High reads on this way. And I will bring the land into desolation. That doesn't mean that it's going to be barren and nothing living there. This desolation in this verse means it's going to be absent of you, the people, my people. So the land's going to be not going to have a holy people in it. Okay, that's what this desolation means. And your enemies which dwell therein. See, that's if the enemies are dwelling therein, that means that it's not absent of people. It's absent of Israel, the Most High's holy people. And your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen and will draw out a sword after you. And your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. So there are people in the land, there are enemies, but it's desolate because we are not there. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbath as long as it lies desolate, and you be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbath. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest, because we won't be doing the things and harvesting on the land, doing what the Most High said to do, because it did not rest in your Sabbath when you dwelt upon it. So Israel violated the Sabbath law, the Sabbath law of the land and its holy Sabbath, its Sabbath day. So remember when we read in the law that when we farm the land, the seventh year, the land was supposed to rest for a whole year. We weren't to plant on it. Whatever grew out of the land, we could eat it, but we couldn't actually farm it. And then every 50th year for the Jubilee, we had to also give the land another Sabbath rest. So in that year, the land would have 2 years Sabbath rest. Okay, the 49th year and the 50th year. Okay. And so it says, because it did not rest in your Sabbath when you dwelt upon it. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their heart in the land of their enemies. You know, we wonder a lot of times why we as a people react the way that we do. But the truth of the matter is, it's part of the curse that I will put this spirit within you, faintness of heart. You won't seem to have any power against your enemy. And yet you still try, you know, because you won't accept the mission that I've given you as a people, the priesthood. You forever want to be like the world. And if you're not trying to be like the world, then you are attacking the world, which I didn't tell you to do that either. So he gives us faintness in our heart, in the lands of our enemies. And the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursue it. So, you know, it's not a good deal to fall, to, you know, come against the Most High and to disobey him, especially for his, because these are curses that he pronounced upon his people for disobedience. And they shall fall one upon another, as it were before a sword, when none pursue it. So you're dropping dead for a lot of reasons that you shouldn't be dropping dead. And it could be from famine, it could be from pestilence, it could be from poverty, not having or able to get enough. It could be for any number of reasons, but it's not going to be because somebody's pursuing you or us. It's because of we're feeling like we're being pursued. And you shall have no power to stand before your enemies. So the only place our power comes from is from him. That's why we as his people have to humble ourselves. We can't be all proud and puffed up, because the only reason we are in this condition is because of what our forefathers did. And what we continue to do, because the Most High caused us to do it. He caused us to be disobedient because we wanted to be disobedient. Then he said, I gave you laws that weren't good. I gave you statutes that weren't good to make you be disobedient, that I might judge you. And so if we understand that, then we know all the more how critical it is that we stay focused on the Most High, and how important it is that We have a relationship with him. That we receive the Ruach HaKodesh, his spirit. So that those things which were not meant for our good, he actually shows it to us. And you shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And that sort of just means that you're going to be, what it means to be consumed or to perish among the heathen, we become so few among them that it's like we are really a no people. Let's just say we become 5 or 6 or 7% of the people in the land, in our enemy's land, or less than that. Okay. And they that are left of you, you see, when he says the land of your enemies shall eat you up, there's still some people left in verse 39. And they that are left of you shall pine away. That means to be living in distress, in want. So pine away in their iniquity and in your enemy's land. So let's look up this word and let me get verse 39. To dwindle, to vanish, consume away, be corrupt, dissolve, melt. So, you're gonna just become so few that those that are left are just going to be, in this case, you're going to pine away in the lands of your enemies, and away in your iniquity. Not just we're going to stop doing iniquity. We're going to languish in it because that was our nature, the nature of our forefathers. So we're just going to become steadily what? Dwindle and vanish. We're not going to be like we were supposed to be. And they that are left of you shall pine away or diminish away or dwindle away in their iniquity in the lands of your enemies, in the enemy's land, and also in the iniquities of their fathers. So the Most High says that, a man is supposed to die for his own will because we are his people. The iniquity of our fathers, we're paying the price for them too. And so pine away in their iniquity in your enemy's land and also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. Now verse 40. If they shall confess their iniquity, and the iniquity of their fathers. This is really the only reason that you have to know that you're a Hebrew Israelite. We are the only people in the world that have to confess our own iniquities and the iniquities of our fathers with their trespasses, which they trespass against Yah. And that also they have walked contrary unto me. So we have to acknowledge that, and we have to confess the iniquity of our fathers and our own iniquity. We have to acknowledge that they didn't do what they were supposed to do. No other race has to do this. No other people on the earth have to do this. But because of what we were chosen for and because of who we serve, we said, okay, you don't want to do what you're supposed to do, then you're going to pine away in the land of your enemy, and you're going to still be living in iniquity. You may believe that you're living truthfully, that you're living the truth. But because of what your forefathers did, I'm going to make you to disappear in those people's lands. And in some lands, we don't even know who we are. There's still some of us in lands, and we don't even know that we are his people. We just have been assimilated into their population. And we think that we are them. And a lot of that can be said for the African-Americans. And we know that they don't treat us right. We know that they don't treat us with any type of honor or respect. They never have. And they have always been trying to do things, whether through direct, just overt violence, to discrimination, to trying to just make things harder for us to get ahead. Many different ways. What they call the Black Code. It would be easy. They wrote a lot of the laws in this land so that they knew that most of us were in poverty. And if they wrote the law such that it was easier for us to break that law, what I mean by easier, it was so rigid that, and a lot of them only applied to us as a people, but they'd be so rigid that if you step to the left or to the right, they could charge you with it. And then everything comes with a fine, so if you couldn't pay the fine, then you ended up going to prison and working off that debt, which was their way of putting us back in slavery. Okay. And so we have to confess in our own iniquities, our own sins, and the sins of our fathers, that they didn't walk right before the Most High, that they were doing all kind of crazy things, that they were worshiping all kind of crazy things. And if you look at us as a people, we are into everything. I don't care what type of religion it is. We are into it because we are so-called spiritual people. But the truth of the matter is, it's a trespass against the Most High. So if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers, which they have trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies. He brought us into the land of our enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, need to underline that word because the second time we're seeing it, humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity. Don't complain about the punishment. Accept the punishment. Acknowledge that we did wrong. And accept the punishment. This is what Israel has to do. And a lot of us don't want to claim that. A lot of us don't want to be Israel for this reason. But give me a hot second. Let me close my door. All right, 41 again. And that I also walk contrary unto them and have brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity. Why are we in this land? Why are we going through the things that we're going through? Because it's the punishment that the Most High has put upon us. And the only way that we can come out of this punishment is to humble ourselves as a people and acknowledge what our forefathers did. And we need to acknowledge that so that we don't repeat it, so that we don't do the same things that they did. So we're going to have our own types of sin, and they had theirs. And most of theirs were worshiping other gods in his house, in his own house. That's why he had the Romans to tear it down brick by brick. That's why Messiah said that the day was coming when that house that Solomon built and then rebuilt by Herod the Edomite, they call him Herod the Great, but he was an Edomite, he had that house torn down to the foundation. I don't want that house anymore. Because they had gone into his house and they were worshiping other gods. They were worshiping the creation. They were worshiping the stars, the moon, and the sun. They were worshiping abominable things. And he said he would have them cast out without mercy. See, that's in Ezekiel chapter 7 and 8. He would have them cast out without mercy. So the Most High equated to a man coming home and catching his wife in the bed with somebody else. God made him feel. So he said, they had walked contrary to me and I walked contrary to them. But if we acknowledge who we are as a people, which this is the only reason that we really need to know that we're Hebrew Israelites, that we're the people of the book, that we need to acknowledge the iniquities of our forefathers as well and not complain about the punishment by being scattered. Well, we should be telling the nation, we are in your land because we were disobedient. But we are the people of the book. And we're Elohim's chosen people. And if we do what we're supposed to do, Elohim will return to us as a people. He will deliver us as a people. He will deliver us individually. But he wants to deliver us as a people. But we got to come to this understanding and accept the punishment. You got people, Yah, come and take us out of this land. Yah, deliver us. But never accepting and acknowledging the iniquity of our fathers and our own iniquity. We just acknowledge that we're Hebrew Israelites. Then, well,
it is now in the conference.
Okay, let me turn down that volume. Then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham. Will I remember, and I will remember the land. So he tells us, you know, all through here, if we are disobedient, that we have to humble ourselves. We have to put down our pride. We have to put down, you know, any part of us that's saying that, you know, we can do this thing on our own, that we don't need the Most High, that we are willing to live by his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. We have to put down all this stuff and pick up what he says to do. And we're going to read some of that here shortly. But as his people, you know, we should not be puffed up. We should not be proud and all vain. We're the chosen people because our record says that we did the Most High dirty. And he says, you can't outdo me. So when we look at the times of the Gentiles and the people who are in the land now, one of the things that the Most High brought to my heart this afternoon, and I almost went this way for a lesson, but not yet. But the times of the Gentiles and looking at how we know that the Gentiles are in the land today, because he says that Israel would be trodden underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles were over. That means that whoever is in Israel right now claiming to be the people of the land are Gentiles. But that doesn't end until Messiah returns. And the things he was showing me as further proof of that is, number one, one of the first things that when they went and reestablished Israel as a nation, if they were the people of the Most High, then they would not have tolerated the Dome of the Rock, that dome that's over in Israel, that's in Jerusalem, that the Muslims worship at. They would not have tolerated that if they were the true people of the book. Because the Most High says that in any nation that you go into, that they were supposed to tear down their high places and their altars and their temples and their places of worship. Allah, even though, you know, the Quran talks about a lot of things that are in the Bible, the God of the Quran is not the same God of the Bible. The Quran teaches you that it's okay to lie up under certain circumstances. And that's Allah in the Quran that is allowing that. But the God of the Bible says we're not supposed to lie up under any circumstance. So it would seem to me that the God of the Muslims is not the same as Yah. He's not the same. Yah would never allow, he says all liars will go have their part in the lake of fire. So you're going to turn around and tell another people, oh yeah, it's okay for you to lie under certain circumstances. Not the same. So many things that are in the Quran that don't line up with the God of the Bible. We cannot say they're the same God. So the people going into the land, if they were the true Hebrew Israelites, then they would know that the Most High requires that they tear down all false worship. Should have been one of the first things that they did. But they're trying to get along with the Muslim faith. And they knew that all the Arabs would come against them. But they should have known that would, if they're the people of the book, that would not be a problem. Okay, another thing. If they were truly the people of the book and they're in the promised land, they would not be condoning 25 or one-fourth of the population being gay. That is an abomination in the eyes of the Most High. So how can the people of the book, if they are the people of the book, allow how the one of the largest gay populations in the world, in the Promised Land, and condone and allow to exist the Dome of the Rock, which would be worshiping another god. So it tells me in several different ways, these are the things that he brought to me today, but it tells me in several different ways that the people who are in the land right now, they are Gentiles. And we don't have to go outside the Bible to prove that. And I've read books on it, but we don't have to. So we are still waiting on our deliverance. We're still waiting on the Most High to gather us. He said he would do that when the times of the Gentiles is over. And we have been in the times of the Gentiles for about 2,000 years. But that time is winding up. So it's important that we know who we are as a people. It's important that you know that you're a Hebrew Israelite and that your deliverance draws nigh as a people. But we have to, you know, it's only going to be for those who follow what he said to do. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. It's only going to be for those that accept Messiah and that obey his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. And it doesn't matter if they are in the religion of Christianity, because the truth of the matter is they have twisted this religion such that you don't have to obey the laws of the Most High. Let's go to verse Let's go to verse 43. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbath, while she lieth desolate without them. And they shall accept the punishment of their iniquity, because even because they despise my judgment. I told you Israel doesn't talk about the judgments of the Most High. Israel talks about we keep his statutes, his laws, his commandments. But Israel does not talk about keeping the judgment of the Most High. We have gone about to create our own judgment, create our own righteousness above his, what we call ourselves doing. Because their soul abhorred, hated my statutes. And this is so true, and it's even true still today. You know, if we take these things to our non-awake brothers and sisters, they don't want to have nothing to do with it. If we take these things to those that call themselves being awake, they don't want to have nothing to do with the judgment. Nothing. They'll keep the statute, or they'll say they'll keep the statutes, the laws, and the commandments. But they won't keep his judgment. What we as a people have to do. We can't say, oh, we keep the statutes, laws, and the commandments, but we just throw away his judgment. And yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, bring it back forward to today, I will not cast them away. Neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly. So I'm not going to hate Israel utterly, to destroy them utterly, completely, and to break my covenant with them. For I am Yah, their Elohim. So the Most High never stops being our God. And he never stops having a place for us, but he will continue and leave us in punishment. And he will leave the land desolate of us until we're ready to accept his terms and do his terms with our whole heart. Not on our terms, but on his terms. But I will, for their sake, remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt, in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their Elohim. I am Yah. So Most High tells, you know, Israel, you mess up, I'm going to scatter you into the nation, and then I will cause them to punish you. And if you will humble yourself and pray and turn from your wicked ways and don't complain about the punishment, but acknowledge why you're being punished, why you are being punished, and acknowledge the sins of your forefathers that they did wrong, and learn that what you are doing, the way you were living, not keeping his law, not keeping his statutes, not keeping his commandments, not keeping his judgment, that you were also in the wrong. Then he says he will hear. For our sake. Covenant of our ancestors. So we have to, the only way you're going to do that, the only way you're going to repent of those things in the right frame of mind is to know who you are. If you don't know who you are, you're not going to do this. You're going to say that's somebody else and they got to do that. But you yourself will not do it. Why? It ain't me. And I'm not cursed. And, you know, that's not us. But the truth of the matter is, it is us. And the only way that you can know that is to go back and understand that desolation does not mean desert or empty, but in the sense that is being used in the scriptures in more places than one, it's desolate of us. It is lacking us. So the land is still there, but we're not in it. So the land is desolate. But the Most High wants a holy land with a holy people. And if we are not in the land, then we are, the land is desolate of us. And this is what, you know, we just have to understand. Give me a hot second here. We're going to be going to Deuteronomy chapter 30. So you can go ahead and flip in your Bibles there. Let me take care of something real quick here. All right. Let's continue. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 30. Can't complain about this captivity. Can't complain about how we are being treated. Because I guarantee you, if our people started following the statutes, laws, commandments, and the judgment of the Most High, the nations wouldn't be having the problems that they have with us. They couldn't say, oh, they're a bunch of law-breaking people. They're, you know, they're criminals. Because they couldn't classify us that way. We would have to totally depend upon the Most High. We'd have to depend upon each other. And we wouldn't be seeking our help from the government or for welfare or anything like that. We would be dependent upon each other, and we would be living godly lives. Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting in verse 1. And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon you, the blessing and the curse. Israel did live through some prosperous times. And he says, our forefathers became fat and lazy and unappreciative. And they started worshiping, you know, they stopped keeping the commandments of the Most High. They stopped keeping his judgment because they thought they were too good to. We're too powerful. We have made ourselves this way. When all these things are come upon thee, the blessings and the curse which I have set before thee, thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whether Yah thy Elohim has driven thee. So if we're saying we're the people of the book, then we got to tell the people about why we are in captivity. We got to tell the people about how good the times were when we were being blessed by the Most High. How he made us fat and prosperous. We were the head and not the tail. You gotta tell them why we are in the tail right now. We're disobedient. Because we were disobedient. You gotta own it. All of it. And don't complain about it. God says he will deliver us if we don't complain. Verse 2, and shall return unto Yah thy Elohim, and shall obey his voice according to all that I have commanded thee to say, thou and thy children, with all thine heart. Underline that, with all thine heart and with all thy soul. We can't come to Yah halfway. We can't come to Yah with a piece of ourselves. He is never one of the people that are going to serve him, not with their whole heart. Because if you're not giving him 100%, you're giving whatever is left over to something else. And so we think that those things that we do in secret that Yah doesn't know, but he knows. If we're worshiping another god, if we're practicing, you know, we're doing the horoscope, doing tarot cards, you know, practicing witchcraft, and then we're calling on his name, he knows. If we're doing wickedness, still calling on his name. So we have to return to him with all our heart and with all our soul. That then Yah, thy Elohim, will turn thy captivity. When will he turn it? When we return to him with all our heart and all our soul. As our foundation in discipleship. We've got to seek him first and his righteousness, his kingdom. We've got to seek him with our whole heart. He says this over and over and over again. But it's important for the Hebrew Israelite because you got to also acknowledge the iniquities of your forefathers. And you got to know that you can't complain about this slavery, this punishment that you're in. You have to acknowledge it and tell the other nations, this is why this is. And my Elohim shall deliver me. He will deliver us as soon as we turn back toward him. Got to tell your brother and your sister. You know, and if they won't hear you, you can't beat it into them. If it's meant for them to stay asleep, you can't beat it into them. Yah has to want them. Yah has to know who they are. Some of them will know, and they don't want, just like our forefathers didn't want it. They abhorred his judgments and his statutes. Oh no, I can't fall up under that law. I'd rather be over here with the Christians that are saved and don't have to keep the law. So they say. But Yah says we have to return unto him with our whole heart. We gotta return unto him with all of our soul. Our body, everything that we have. Verse 3. That then Yah, thy Elohim, will turn thy captivity. I'll deliver you. I'll turn the captivity and have compassion upon thee. And will return and gather thee from all the nations. Try to come back. We keep looking for Messiah to come back. We keep looking for this captivity to be turned. But the truth of the matter is, we got to do something. We got to return to the Most High. Not just in name, but in deed. With our whole heart. We got to be fanatical about it. What the world would call fanatical. And not care what the world says. What our God, our Elohim, requires of us. Then I'll turn your captivity. Truth of the matter is, each and every person listening, and if you claim to be a Hebrew Israelite, if Yah is not keeping you in this country, why are you still here? Nobody's got a gun to your head saying you got to stay. Question is, where are you going to go? And no matter where you go, you still got to return to him with your whole heart. You want him to take away your enemies and punish your enemies, but we got to do what he says to do on his terms. And I know for a fact, like I said, I know for a fact that we do not keep his judgment. Mention his judgment. Like I said, I've gone to too many of us. Mention his judgment. Oh, no, can't do that. He must have, he, you know, we're in the land of our enemies. We can't do that. But then you might as well tell Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel and Joseph, and all those things that we had, that they shouldn't obey the judgment and the commandments of the Most High when they were in the land of their captors. Now they got persecuted for obeying the statutes, laws, commandments, and the judgments of the Most High. You might as well tell them that, oh no, they couldn't do it in the land of their enemies, their captors. And that's what a lot of my Hebrew brothers and sisters do. Oh, we can't keep that. We're not in our land. Let me tell you something. You're in the land of America that says you can worship anything that you want to worship. Worship a bottle of pills if you want to. Worship an ashtray if you want to. Make that your God. And if you truly believe it's your God, they'll let you worship it the way that you want to worship it. If you say you can't worship the Most High and keep his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, and his judgments in this same land, not so. That's your excuse. Because we want to claim that we're Hebrew Israelites. We want to claim that we're the people of the book. But we're mainly the ones mixing the corrupted Christian doctrine and the corrupted Christian philosophy in with our own beliefs. Everything that they say is not corrupt. But those things that seem to make it easier for us, that they espouse, oh, we'll adopt that in a minute. Because we never really, from the history and the scriptures, our forefathers didn't want to keep it. And we don't want to keep it. So until we are ready to humble ourselves, pick up the statutes, all of the statutes, the laws, and the commandments as they apply today, and the judgment of the Most High, we're not ready to have our captivity turned. We're not ready to come out of the nation. And I believe that's why it doesn't happen until Messiah returns. Messiah would turn it for us before then. But because of unbelief, we don't want to believe that we're the people of the book. And if we do believe that we're the people of the book, we don't want to keep all of the laws. We don't want to keep all of the commandments. We don't want to keep all of the statutes. We don't want to keep all of the judgments. We want to keep those things that are convenient to keep, that show up outwardly. And it's not acceptable with the Most High. Let's continue. Verse 3 again. That then, Yah, thy Elohim, will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations, whether Yah thy Elohim has scattered. He's telling us exactly what we need to do. If any of thine be driven out unto the utmost parts of heaven, no matter where you're at in the world, from thence will Yah thy Elohim gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. He'll let you know who you are. I don't care if you're in Greenland or Iceland or in the Philippines or the southern tip of Africa, or if you're on the Antarctic continent or the North Pole, no matter where you're at in the world, the uttermost part of heaven is talking about this earth and everything that's under the heavens on this earth. No matter where he might scatter us to, he would gather us. But we have to do what he says to. We have to come on his terms with our whole heart. Verse 5, and Yah thy Elohim will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. He will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. I'm going to make it better for you than it was for your father. I'm going to multiply you and make you more numerous than your father. If we just humble ourselves, if we return to him with our whole heart. Let's continue. And Yah will, and Yah thy Elohim will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed. I'm going to remove that portion of that covering that you have over your heart that causes you to be rebellious, that causes you to resist the word of the Most High, that causes you to walk in unbelief. I'm going to cut that away. And I'm going to replace it and put my statutes, my laws, my commandments, my ordinances, my judgments. I'm going to write them in your heart. And Yah thy Elohim will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed, your children, your grandchildren, to love Yah thy Elohim with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. We as a people have to do this. We want to be delivered out of this captivity. We want to be delivered from amongst those nations. We want Yah to clear out the land for us to go back into. Because right now it is populated by Gentiles. But if we really want to return to the land, I don't want to go into Liberia. I don't want to go into Egypt. If it's me personally, I want the Most High to deliver me back into our own land. And until that happens, then we need to continue to do what we're supposed to be doing as far as the gospel goes, as far as setting up his kingdom in the earth. Just like Joseph, when he sent Joseph into Egypt ahead of Jacob and the rest of his brothers. Slavery, now not because of something that he did wrong, like us, but the Most High used these same things, the same vehicle, so that we will be in place and are able to do, spread this gospel. And the true gospel is to fear Yah and keep his commandments, that we can come back into right relationship with him. How are we going to come back into right relationship with a deity that says, if you have any kind of wisdom, you fear him. He does terrible things. He don't just bless. He will kill you. He will cause you to suffer if you are disobedient. So we have to do what it is that he wants. Verse 7. If we do, and I want each and every one of us to hear this, because if the curses are still upon us, then we got to know that we are not doing what we're supposed to do. Verse 7. And Yah thy Elohim will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecute thee. I will turn your captivity. I will flip the script. And whereas you were cursed before, now are you blessed. Where you were having all these diseases, now your enemy has all these diseases. Where you were low man on the totem pole, now you are at the top of the totem pole. I will turn your captivity. And everything that I curse you with, I will put it on them that curse you. I will put it on them that hate you. I will put it on them that persecute you. So you have to understand that. That only happens when we return to him with our whole heart. When we return to him and keep everything that he has said for us to keep with our whole heart. When we humble ourselves. And if it calls for us to do something that we're not comfortable with because of his judgment, we keep his judgment. And chalk it up to it was the will of Yah. Instead of saying, oh no, can't do that. The police will come and get me. Then let the police come and get you. Yah says you're to fear no man, you're to fear him. All of our examples in the scriptures show us that example. Fear Yah, don't fear men. Let Yah deliver you out of their hands. Afraid for our life, we're so afraid that we're going to lose something. We're so afraid of them that we won't keep his judgment. And if there's any of his commandments that are contrary to the world, for the most part, we won't keep them either. Surface stuff. We have no problem keeping. But the truth of his word, we have a problem. Verse 8, and thou shalt return and obey the voice of Yah, and do all of his commandments. Some of them, do all of them. We know that we can't sacrifice animals today. We know and recognize that Messiah came and died for our sins. We know that Messiah didn't give us a sin ATM card, a credit card that we can use every time we feel like we want to be disobedient. And all we got to do is say, use the I'm sorry card and confess our sins. We know he didn't do that either. So we acknowledge Messiah in all these things. And we don't make animal sacrifices because the Most High said, if you make an animal sacrifice and you don't do it at the door of his tabernacle or at the door of his temple, and he don't know what you're sacrificing to or to whom you're sacrificing. That's what part of the priesthood was for. That they would take the sacrifice, and they knew that the sacrifice was dedicated to Yah. You do it out in the field, you do it somewhere else. They had men sacrificing to Moloch, to Baal, to Asherah. No, bring my sacrifice to my tabernacle or the door of my temple. We don't have the tabernacle or the temple with the altar in it to make that kind of sacrifice. So Messiah died for our sins, the sin sacrifice. And animal sacrifice is not what he desired from the beginning. But it was because of transgression. So we're to offer ourselves as that living sacrifice. Acceptable and holy unto him, meaning unblemished, continually walking in sin, and then call yourself being a sacrifice. Doesn't work for the most part. Never has and never will. That's a Cain offering. Not acceptable. And we don't want to hear that because we want to feel like whatever we throw up, the Most High should just accept. That should be acceptable for him. Let's continue. Verse 8, and thou shalt return and obey the voice of Yah and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. And Yah, thy Elohim, will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand. Want to be blessed? Do what he says to do. And in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land, for good. For Yah, thy Elohim, will again rejoice over thee for good. Remember, he told us that he would bless us in everything that we did if we obeyed him. So he told our forefathers, if they obeyed and did everything that he told them to do, he would bless them above measure. But if they disobey, then he would rejoice to do them evil. Now I'm going to take joy in bringing evil upon you. So the Most High is happy either way. And he's good either way. There's nothing that he needs from us. I would much rather have the Most High rejoicing over us because we're doing good than to be rejoicing over us to do us evil because we're not obeying his statutes, his laws, his commandments, and his judgments, his ordinance with our whole heart. We're not trying to find wiggle room to get out. We're not trying to find, you know, justify ourselves so that we don't have to do a certain thing. We don't want the Most High to rejoice over us to do us harm. Who can deliver us out of his hands? Verse 10. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of Yah, thy Elohim, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto Yah, thy Elohim, with all thine heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee. The commandment was to obey Yah. Keep his commandment. For this commandment, which I command thee this day, is not hidden from you. Neither is it afar off. You don't have to go looking for this. Heaven, that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? You've already been told what to do. Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Verse 14. But the word is very nigh or very near unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. We learn the statutes, law, commandments, judgments, ordinances of the Most High. Then we're supposed to write them in our heart. We're supposed to write them in our mind. We're supposed to memorize them. We're supposed to meditate on them. The word is supposed to be nigh or near unto us. The commandments are supposed to be near unto us. Not that we are trying to not do them. Not that we are saying we don't come up under them. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love Yah thy Elohim, to walk in his way, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And Yah thy Elohim shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess. We want our land back? We have to walk in his ways. We got to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments to do. And then he will prosper us. He will multiply us. He will let us live. Now, if we do those things, we receive life and good. If we don't do these things, we receive death and evil. Be obedient and receive life and good. Be disobedient and receive death and evil. We might be living a life right now, able to do whatever we want to do, not having any monetary concerns in the world. Doesn't mean that we have life. Doesn't mean that we are blessed, because as I try to explain to people all the time, you got to look at what Satan came to offer Messiah. He offered him the kingdoms of the world, and he offered him the riches of the world, if he would but bow down to him. So Satan has it within his power to give us those things. But we got to be doing what he wants. And we can be in church and still be doing what Satan wants. When we look in the scriptures, there were people who were demon-possessed in the synagogue, in the temple, demon-possessed, come up in the church. Don't think that Satan can't come up in the camp. And appear as an angel of light. And your blessings may not be coming from the Most High. They may be coming from the adversary. As long as he can keep you there, he knows you're going to end up where he is going to end up at. He knows that. So that's what it takes to keep you. Let me keep you there. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce or announce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou pass over the Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life. This is what the Most High wants us to do. Choose life. Humble yourself. Turn from your wicked ways. Repent of your sins. Repent of the complaint about the punishment that you're in, because you're in it because of disobedience. Make yourself obedient to his word with your whole heart, with your whole soul. That I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love Yah thy Elohim, and thou mayest obey his voice. Obey his voice, not the voice of men. If somebody's telling you something contrary to what's written in the scriptures, because that is what Yah has given us to go by, plus his spirit, because you cannot read these scriptures with a carnal mind and come out with the spiritual answer that you need. You'll come out with a carnal answer. So you need the Ruach HaKodesh, along with all of them. For he is thy life. It's all about the Most High being our life, our reason for living, our motivation. That's why Messiah said, I have meat that you know not of, that motivates me. It is the Most High being his life, his motivation, purpose, what drove him or drives him to do his will. That should be your motivation, to please the Most High. That he should be your whole life. We live our life today trying to please ourselves. And want to do, you know, a little bit of something to get into the kingdom. But your whole life really has to be motivated for the Most High. It has to be driven by the Most High and doing what it is that he wants done. And the length of thy day, that thou mayest dwell in the land which Yah sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to give them. So we got to understand as a people why it's important. One, so that we understand that we were chosen by him. Number two, that we have to repent for the sins of our fathers and our forefathers, for our own sins. Number three, we can't complain about the punishment that we're in. And we got to be a testimony to the nation concerning this thing and not be proud and puffed up. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll stop here for this evening. The book of Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to kind of beat this up for a minute. A few lessons, but don't want that we should misuse Messiah the way the world is misusing Messiah. Okay? And let's start in verse 26. And remember, this goes back toward willful sin and ignorant time. If they are in your heart, then there's no way for you to ignorantly sin. No way, because you know them. If this is a new convert, somebody new to the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, then they can ignorantly sin. But let's talk to the believers today. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. There ain't no blood for this. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. So, sin is the transgression of the law. Sinning, because they're transgressing the law because they don't feel like they got to keep the law, then they fall into this. But I'm not going to deal with them on today. I want to deal with us as a people, that we might have the fear of Yah in us. The fear of Yah. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. We don't want to make God our adversary. We want to choose life. We want to choose good. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy up under two or three witnesses. How much more sore or worse punishment, suppose he or do you think, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden under the Son of Elohim, who has taken for granted the salvation and the gift that we get through Messiah, the forgiveness of our sins, that we could go back and just blatantly sin again, knowingly sin again. He said, you trodden the Son of Elohim underfoot and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, wherewith he was set apart, an unholy thing. So when people don't believe that they're up under the law, or they don't believe that they can, you know, once they're saved, that they don't have to continue to not sin, and sin is described as the transgression of the law, then they're going to find themselves treating the death of Messiah an unholy thing. and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. They have despised the Spirit of grace, not understanding the Spirit of grace, not understanding the grace of Elohim, using it as a mechanism or an excuse not to obey the laws of the Most High. Grace. Verse 30, for we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense. Now he's talking to all those people who have despised Messiah. I will recompense. Vengeance belongs to me. You think you're going to treat Messiah this way? You're going to willfully sin and disregard what he did, disrespect what he did, treat it as something unholy? The Most High says he's going to have vengeance. I will repay those people, says Yah. And again, Yah shall judge his people. Coming back to us now. But even those Gentiles that come up under Messiah, that truly come up under Messiah, it is supposed to be a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living Elohim. So he's going to repay everybody that walks contrary to him. He's going to repay everybody that disrespects what Messiah has done. He's going to repay all those pastors and teachers that teach men that they can sin and Yah will forgive any and everything. He's going to repay them. All those people that teach you don't have to keep the commandments, the laws. You don't have to keep the judgment. He didn't change anything in the New Testament. But it's written in such a way, parabolically, that men will receive it so they can do what they want to do, what's really in their heart to do. That's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to get from the Scriptures. It is written to reveal what's in the heart. If there's no law in your heart, you're not going to keep it. Let me say that again. If there is no law in your heart, you're not going to keep it. You're going to find ways not to keep it. You're going to interpret the Scriptures in ways that you don't have to keep it. It's not within you. But he told Israel, and Israel is just a microcosm of the world, I set before you life and death. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. That's why it's important that you know that you're a Hebrew Israelite. That you can come back as his people and return with your whole heart and not complain about the punishment. There'll be a testimony, and Yah will turn this captivity. He'll turn it. No matter where we're at in the world, he'll turn it. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. Father, hear the cry of your people. Hear our supplications in our prayers for all those who are obeying your commandments, that have written them in our hearts, and that are doers of your words, not just hearers, but doers of your word, Father. Hear our prayers. Father, we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. So we will use this opportunity to establish your kingdom in the earth. And until you see fit, Father, to gather us out of the nation, we will do what our King, Messiah, told us to do. Teach this gospel and whatsoever he commanded. Father, give us your spirit that you might guide us, that you might order our steps, that we might complete your will. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. If there are any questions, you can, if you're listening to the broadcast online, you can press the number one and I'll open your mic. If you are on your cell phone and you dialed into the 480 number, you can go ahead and just speak and I'll recognize you. If you are in the chat room and you have something that you want to say or add to this, then you can also just go ahead and speak and we'll recognize you on the floor. All right, if there are no comments and no questions, on tomorrow we will have Sabbath morning lesson. Yah will give me what I'm going to be teaching. I don't know if it's the time for the Gentiles or he will have me doing something else. That's the vein that he's had me in so that we can start dealing with this. The times are winding up. And, you know, we need to be prepared. We need to throw ourselves into it wholly, with our whole heart, with our whole mind. We need to believe in the mission that, Yah has given us and to perform it. So don't know what it will be, but Yah will give it to me as usual sometime tonight. All right, that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. Thanks. Shalom. Have a happy Sabbath. And be thankful that you are a Hebrew Israelite. And return and give the Most High your whole heart. Humble yourself. Shalom. Thanks. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.
Forever, sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion, our Elohim. Never.